the Lord. Good to be back in the Lord's house. I say that with all sincerity. I hope that is all of our testimony this morning. It truly is a blessing to be able to come into the house of God. And if you are outside this morning, it's a blessing to be at the house of God, meeting with God's people, with all of our problems. And I would be lying to tell you we were perfect. We are far from perfect. We have our problems, and many of them at that. But I'll say this, God's people are the best people on planet Earth. With all of our problems, you're not going to find a group of anybody. You're not going to find a family, mine included, beginning with mine, that don't have problems and issues. But I would rather work through our problems with the people of God and with the God of the people than anybody I know. I thank God for our church. I thank God for you and your faithfulness to be here and to have a desire to come and magnify the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And just worship God. And I don't know. I miss those people who are outside. I fully understand why you are outside this morning. But there's something about being in the house of God. God established His house. He established a meeting place, a gathering place, and I thank God that we're not like they were in the Old Testament, going from tent to tent and from place to place. But here in the New Testament, in the church age, the dispensation of grace that we're living in, God give us the church, the house of God. And I'm aware, and I don't have time to get into this, and I know you wouldn't want to debate it anyway, but this building is not the actual church. We are the church. Those who are saved by the grace of God, those who have put their full faith and confidence and trust and repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Savior, you and I, we make up the church, the body of believers, the building, as God says, not the structure, but we are the building. We are the bride. We are the church. But there is something special about the house of God, the meeting place. We don't have to even go any further in that other than to say, I thank God for His house. Some of the greatest memories that I have been in the house of God. Even being married, I was in the house of God, as most of you probably were as well. Now, a lot of you were probably saved in the house of God. I didn't get saved in the house of God. I got saved at my house, but it was in direct correlation and linked to the preaching that I heard at the house of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. And so I was called to preach in the house of God at an old-fashioned altar. I can't tell you how many times I've met with God in His house, and how God has ministered and moved, and Memorial Day, and what a day. I think that's a biblical thing. When I say it's scriptural, the Bible says that we ought to give honor where honor is due. And I can't think of anything more honorable than for somebody to have given all and been willing to lay down their life and shed their blood and give everything, literally, so that we could live in freedom. And so let's take our Bibles this morning. Since I have four messages, we probably need to get started. John chapter number 15 in the Word of God. John chapter number 15, I'm just going to read one verse here. Keep your Bibles open, and we'll go to another portion of Scripture. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 13. Just for life's sake, I used to come to the pulpit with a Bible and preach with a Bible and a piece of paper. Then I started carrying a Bible and a notebook. And then I graduated, and because I'd lose all my sermons. I'd preach them and lose them. So then I got an iPad. I started storing them on there. And then I started storing them on my phone. So I literally got four different devices and pieces of, literally four sermons in four different places up here this morning. So you laugh at me as I struggle through this and try to, I need four eyes, so I'll put my glasses on. John chapter 15. Maybe I'll catch one of these sermons out of each lens. John chapter 15, I'll try not to keep you too long this afternoon. Very familiar verse. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." What a powerful, powerful verse. What a promising verse. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I want to preach on this subject this morning. We're going to turn to a couple other passages of Scripture. There are some things worth dying for. There are some things worth dying for. Now, I did not volunteer this morning to die. I didn't volunteer you to die. But I will say, certain things happen that demands somebody to step up and be willing to give all and to do all that they can in order for a greater good and a greater purpose, a larger thing than even life, their own life. And that applies in so many different avenues. We as Christian people, you know where I'm going with this, but I want to first, before we get to the Christian aspect of that, I do want to pause for a minute and think about not just culture, but as a country. I thank God this morning. When I was picking out my tie and my suit this morning, I seen a gray suit. I pulled it out and I said, no. I seen another gray suit with blue stripes. I said, no. I said, I want a blue suit and a blue tie with red. I wanted red, white, and blue. I just love the red, white, and blue. You know what? Just like our church, I said, we have problems and we do. Listen, America is sick. She has problems. Sin sick. Our country is in a mess. We are in trouble. Financially, economically, constitutionally, morally, America is in decline and is in deep, deep trouble. I didn't come to depress you this morning, but I did come to be honest. And if you are a Christian, you would have to agree, America is not what she once was. Our president, our current president, I thank God for him. He ran and was elected on the campaign slogan, "Make America Great Again." MAGA, you've heard that, have you not? Well, in order for that to catch on and have such validity to it, he was saying by that statement, "Make America Great Again," that something had happened. We had slipped somewhere and we are not what we once was. And I would have to say, man, that we are not, as a country, morally, what we once was. The very moral fabric and foundation that built this nation, we are far drifted from that. And God help us to be honest about the fact. Listen, you've all heard the statement, a drunk man that don't realize he has a problem will never get help. And we as a country, especially the Christian people in this country, if we don't get honest about the fact that we are not what we was, we're not where we was, we're not what we need to be. then we'll never seek God and try to get help for this country. That being said, I thank God with all the problems, with where we've slid to and with all the chaos and all that's going on in this world, I am proud this morning to be a red-blooded American. I thank God I was born in the greatest country this world has ever known. I thank God for the United States of America. I'm proud to be an American. I mean that. Listen, we do have problems, but every country has problems. This nation has issues, but every nation has issues. We just happen to be the most blessed people on the planet to be able to call ourselves American. That did not come by accident. That is a direct blessing from the God of heaven. You could have been born in Africa this morning. I could have been born in Uganda or in China or in some Muslim nation. We could be there this morning in some other place, but God blessed us and graced us to let us be born in the United States of America. That's just the goodness of God. You say, what's that got to do with Memorial Day and some things worth dying for? I'll say this. We would not be the country we are had it not been for men and women who were willing and saw that this country was truly bigger and better than even their own life, and that there was something going on that was so important and so wonderful and great that they wanted to pass down to their children and their grandchildren, that they were willing to die and give their life and shed their blood and pay and provide freedom for us with their blood.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. Well, I say very honest and honorable men and women have paid the ultimate cost and bought our freedom with their blood. And freedom, listen, freedom, you've heard this, but freedom is not cheap. Absolutely, no, it's free to us, but it's not cheap. Freedom actually is not free at all. Freedom is paid for by the blood of Americans who have purchased that with their own blood. And with their last breath of their life, that's what's given us freedom. Had men and women not been willing to pay and to give all and to push forward and to fight and to do everything in their power, we wouldn't have this great country. This country just did not just evolve. No, this country came by the sweat, blood, and tears and the prayers of great men and women. That greatest generation and those that have come before us, they provided this land for us with the blessing and help of God. And for us to overlook that, it would be a detriment to us. It is a danger to us. Any country, any people that does not understand and know their history and where they came from is bound to lose that very thing that God's given them. Why do you think the socialists and these the progressives are trying to rip out the history and rewrite the history books and to brainwash a generation of people? And they absolutely just don't like our country. And I've said this without apology. They are way too many planes and trains to get out of here in boats. If you hate it that bad, they are plenty of places to find. But as for me, I love this country. I thank God for our heritage. I thank God for a goodly, godly heritage. I mean that. Thomas Jefferson said this, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." We will not just always be free if somebody don't see the need and see that freedom is slipping and take a stand and be willing to fight the fight and to work the work and to run the race and yes, to ultimately lay down their life and pay with their own blood and to provide and purchase freedom. That's what Thomas Jefferson, one of our great forefathers, meant by making that statement. And freedom in our country was bought with the blood. I looked this up this morning. freedom in our country was bought with the blood of over 1,316,771 men and women who were willing to lay down their life, shed their blood. 1.3 million plus people. That's going all the way back to the French-Indian War, the Revolutionary War, 29,435 people. The War of 1812, 20,000 plus people. The Mexican-American War, 13,283 people. The Civil War, 623,026 people. The Spanish-American War, 2,446 lives. World War I, 116,708 lives. World War II, 407,000 lives perished. The Korean War, 36,914 souls shed their blood. The Vietnam War, which many of you know better than I, those soldiers, those airmen, those Marines, those Navy, they were not given the welcome and the gratitude and appreciation that they deserved for simply serving their country. They wasn't the politicians making the decisions. They were going to simply serve like every other soldier that has served. And we owe them a great debt of gratitude. Amen. Whether war is popular or not, those who are fighting for our freedom deserve our respect and gratitude. Yes. And so in the Vietnam War, over 58,000 souls perished. Desert Storm, 269 people. And then in the War on Terrorism, to date, over 6,000 people, soldiers, patriots, have laid down their life. So again, 1.3, I'll just give you the number that I have, 1,316,771 human beings have given their life for our freedom. I say that's worth honoring. I say that's a price that we should pause and pay reverence to and salute and thank God that they have been men and women that love this country enough that they were willing to do whatever it took, even their own life, to be given and taken so that others could have the freedom and the liberties that we enjoy. I say that's wonderful. Amen. And so, we do have a great country. With its problems, we have a wonderful, wonderful country with a rich heritage. And I said, I'm preaching on the subject, some things are worth dying for. Now, here's where the message goes four ways. I probably won't get done. I know I won't get done. But I was thinking this morning, and I got mad. I mean, just furious. How many of y'all remember a story? I know it's happened more than one time, but I remember one incident not too long ago where a man suited up. Bert, he put on a purchase-bought military uniform. He was not a soldier. He was an imposter. An American, yes, but never had he enlisted in the Army. Never had he enlisted in the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force. And he bought and purchased that uniform, put it on so that he could get the discounts that those who really served received. Now by the noise and the size and the looks on your face, I can tell that bothers you too. As it should. Let me help us all. Don't get too upset yet. Because as I was infuriated about that, I thought that low down dirty scoundrel What kind of imposter would do such a thing? And as I was sitting there thinking and getting madder and madder, the Holy Spirit said, that same kind of imposter that you are. You name the name of Christ and you say you enlisted in the Lord's army. And how oft you sell me out so short for the discounted things that you can get from me. And name the name of Christ, but how few times are you willing to go get in the battle and fight the fight of faith and do what it takes to be a good soldier? Oh yeah, it got quiet at my house. Wasn't no amen, and it was a lot of oh me and repenting. And that was a low-down, sorry scoundrel and an imposter and a fake and a phony, and it was a sorry thing that man did. But so are we as Christian people who were enlisted in a much more nobler cause, in a much higher calling. And as great as the American military is, all four branches of the armed services and the armed forces, listen, I respect them all. I thank God for them. I highly respect them. I would have been in one. The doctor stopped me from being. I was ready to go. I'd signed up, enlisted, and wanted to be. And would have been. Couldn't. But I respect everyone who has. And I think America has the best the world's ever known when it comes to military. I think it's not even close. Amen. But the American military and armed forces has to take a second seat to the army of the Lord. Amen. This army that we're enlisted in is the greatest fighting force and force for good and God that humanity has ever known. There's never been a nobler cause. And for us to overlook that, listen, I'm for Memorial Day. I'm for giving honor where honor's due. But listen, people who's joined the military in America is not the only soldiers and patriots that's ever died. Do you know how many martyrs and Christians who have signed up in the Lord's army have shed their blood? There is a trail of blood that runs long, much longer than this country has even been in conception and been alive. I mean, there have been Christians who have blazed a trail, who have signed up and enlisted in the Lord's army, who have lived faithfully and loyal and loved the Lord and fought and gave their life and shed their blood, been burned at the stake, and we cannot overlook them on this Memorial Day. No, we can't. So what the Bible says, greater love had no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is a powerful statement. And you know what's great? And I salute, and it's not knocking anything at all. It's saluting those friends of ours, those who are Americans, those who put on the uniform, those who put on the armor and get the gun and go and fight for our freedom. And even if they don't fight, if they're willing to fight. And I know, as Brother Jackie differentiated, that there's a difference in Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Today is a day that we're honoring those who have given their life and given their all. But I thank God for those who signed their name on the dotted line, who were willing. And just by the grace of God, it wasn't them. Amen. But they signed, they gave their life willing to go and give it all. Amen. Amen. My point being in this verse saying, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. It's one thing to fight for people of America. It's one thing to fight for this nation. It's one thing to fight for those who we love. But there's a greater love than that, that the Lord Jesus exemplifies. He didn't just die for His friends. He didn't just lay down His life for His friends. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were nailing Him to a tree, hey, He loved us. The song says, He knew me, He loved me. I mean, when we were at our worst, He was at His best. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you were unlovable. He saw you on your darkest day. He saw you when you was His biggest enemy. Yet He loved you and He died for you. I say, what love? What love? Oh, how we ought to commemorate that. How we ought to exalt that. Yes. There are some things worth dying for. That love is the greatest love this world's ever known. Amen. Amen. Now, I got to say this just because I ain't going to be able to come back and preach this evening. But I was thinking about that low-down, sorry, devil that suited up falsely and phony. He was a decoy. He was a fake. An imposter. And I got to thinking about that Christian aspect of that and how, Brother Jackie, how off we've done that. And I got to thinking about people in the Bible. At first I went to Paul. And I got to think, reading all the, over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and how he talked about being good soldiers and how we ought not to be entangled with the affairs of this world and how we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier, and then go over two more chapters to chapter 4 and he talks about how that he fought a good fight and he kept the faith. I mean, he knew. Over in the book of Acts, he was talking about he knew he was headed to Jerusalem. They was about to kill him. He knew what was happening. He knew what his fate was, and he was telling those people goodbye. But he was going, and I thought, my, what a Christian. My, what a Christian. He wasn't just willing to talk the talk. He wasn't an imposter. He was legit. He was willing to put his neck down and let them chop his head off. And then I got to thinking, I don't know. I mean, I've said before I'd be willing to die for the Lord. And that is a very great cause if it ever comes to that. There's not a greater cause. But this is the truth. Most of us don't fall in line behind Paul. No, we'd have to back up a little bit. Let's go back to a man by the name of Peter. That's usually where I find myself, Brother Ned. I'm usually not in the company and companionship with Paul. No, usually I'm trying to get my foot out of my mouth because I done spoke too much and said too much like I was some big bad Christian who could do it all, who would die for Jesus, like Peter said he'd do. Right before Jesus died, he said, "Oh Lord, Jesus said, you're going to deny me." "Not me, Lord. What are you talking about? I'd die for thee. I'd go to the ends of the world for you. What are you talking about? I'd die for you." And don't look at me like you're super spiritual. You know if you hadn't said it, you've thought it, I'd die for the Lord.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
We better be careful. He might just test us. Because when the chips were down and the Lord was taken, they all scattered. Wasn't none of them willing to die. But I got good news. That ain't the end of the story. I said there's some things worth dying. I tell you, listen, our founding was worth dying. I thank God for the men. I don't knock it. I lift it up. I extol it. I thank God for those men and women who were willing to die for the founding of this country. What a country! What, look at what we have because people were willing to die. I say that was a noble, great cause. But not just our founding. But listen, I think it's a good thing. I hope. I wouldn't be so sorry, Brother Alex, that I wouldn't die for my family. Amen. If something come to it, somebody was threatening my wife and my children, if I was you, I wouldn't try that. I believe, I'm trying to be honest, Ms. Cole, I believe I'd die for them. Amen. I think you should die for your family if it come to it. Now, you husbands, don't be like them sorry husbands I've heard about not coming to the door about 3 in the morning or they hear a noise and they say, "Honey, you go check on that." Lord have mercy. We're raising some pansies, I'm telling you. No. But they are some things worth dying for. Our founding was one. Our freedom. I say that was a worthy cause, and still today, it is still a worthy, great, good, wholesome, noble cause to die for freedom. That's something worth dying for. God forbid we lose our freedom. And never in my life have I thought about and understood and looked through the microscope and through the lens of losing our freedom how I have over the past little while. Because we have, men by the millions and women have shed their blood, paid the price, and given their lives so that we could enjoy freedom and liberty. And we have just literally been giving it away for free. Rolling over, not even putting up a fight, much less giving our life. I'm saying freedom is one of those things we ought to be willing, like our forefathers and like those great men and women who have come before us. And even a young black man this week from Spartanburg gave his life for this country in service for our freedom. That's something worth dying for. Our founding, our freedom, our family. And I want to get back to where I was at and we'll be done. Our faith should be something we'd be willing to die for. And I know we can say it. And it's easy to sit on a couch with a remote control and listen to the news media and tell them how to run it and how they're doing it wrong. And that and the other, and backseat quarterback, backseat driving. It's easy to say it. If you don't believe so, ask Peter. He said it. And about every one of us have said it or we thought it. You don't all have to say amen too loud. I already know. You ain't that humble. You think you way much better of a Christian than that. Oh, I'd die for you. Don't that sound just like you? I've said it, Cam. I've said it. And I thought, goodness, I can't be a Paul, but Paul proved it. He proved it. And then I got back to thinking about Peter and them other disciples. And you know what? Before the cross, when they seen the Lord up there, and it was all pandemonium and chaos and their whole world was falling apart and they didn't know what was going on. Everything they'd put their confidence and faith in, everything they'd believed, it seemed to be dying. It seemed to be falling apart. Their world was shattered. Their faith was shattered. And they, like we would, run and failed. But ain't you glad failure is not final with the Lord?
Amen.
God should have and could have, and if I'd have been God, I would have washed my hands and said, "If I've given y'all 3.5 years one-on-one, walking with me, letting you hear me pray, letting you hear me preach, what, letting you partake in the miracles. I mean, watching fish turn into multiple fish and bread turn into feed thousands, and you eyewitnessing me touch ears to make them hear and eyes to make see, and even take dead men and make them live. You, I've handpicked you and let you see and be involved in all that, and then you turn on me at the first sign of trouble. I'm done with you." And before you criticize me, some of you are done with people a whole lot sooner than that. Well, if that's the way they're going to do, I'm done with them. Well, ain't you glad God ain't that way?
Amen.
I failed the Lord enough. I thank God He is a forgiving God. I thank God He's a long-suffering, patient God, slow to wrath, slow to anger. I thank God that He knows our frame. He knows our uprising and our downsitting. He knows our weakness and our feebleness. And listen, He went back to Peter. Matter of fact, when He rose from the dead, He said, "You go tell the disciples and Peter." Because Peter's one spoke up and said, and failed and publicly denied the Lord and cussed the Lord. And the Lord was letting him know, "I ain't give up on you, Peter. I'm still going to give you a chance to prove yourself. I'm still going to give you a chance to get the power of God and preach at Pentecost and thousands get saved. And I'm still going to give you a chance to redeem that. I'd die for you." And He did.
Right. Amen.
So did the rest of them. Read how them disciples, some of them was boiled alive, some of them was put in logs and sawed in sunder. Some of them was Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I ain't worthy to be crucified like my Lord. So what I'm saying, he was at one time unwilling to die for Christ and for his faith. But ain't you glad we serve a God who can mature us and grow us and strengthen us and give grace to us when we're weak and when we're young. And he like a loving father, like a patient mother, he will nurture us and mature and grow us. And no, he don't wink at sin. And no, he don't look over. But he'll forgive. And he loves us so much we can't even understand or fathom it. And before you know it, you too, you may have failed the Lord. I have failed the Lord. There's been times I swore I wouldn't have done it. There's been times I swore I would have done this and wouldn't have done that. And he's loved me in spite of me. He's cared for me in spite of me. And here I stand today by the grace of God. And I still have the chance to die for him if it comes. Amen. I ain't saying I will. I ain't saying I'm there yet. But I'm saying I know I wouldn't in the past because I wouldn't even live for him. And don't you dare tell me you'd die for him and you won't even live for him. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. In other words, God said, I ain't asked you to die for me. I just asked you to live for me. Amen. So don't go spouting off at the mouth about how big of a Christian you are and how holy and righteous you are and how much you'd sacrifice for the Lord and die. Because most of us ain't doing too good a job living. Amen. Which is our reasonable service. Well, I plan on this being a blessing, but it's getting pretty convicting to me. But it is a blessing to know that he loves us enough to be lenient, be gracious and merciful, that he didn't just wash his hands and say, okay, I'm done with you. If he is a Baptist, Brother Jackie would have been over a long time ago. If he was part of the brethren, we wouldn't have a shot. Brother Stephen, we'd be done. But he's God. Amen. And he's good and he's gracious. Amen. And that ought to give every one of us. If you can look at Peter and all them other disciples who scattered at the first sign of trouble and then just see the goodness and graciousness of God start working in them and empowering them. And he even sent the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send somebody that'll empower you to make you be able to do things that you could not do. That now you can. He said, I'm going to give you grace that you didn't have. I'm going to give you more grace. When you thought you could do those things and you were proud, he said, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to break you down. And then I'm going to give you grace. And I'm going to allow you to do things you never dreamed you could do. But he's got to break you first. As long as you think you can, you can't. When you get to thinking, I can't do nothing, that's about the time God's going to let you do something. I thought I was done. I thought my last chapter had been signed, book closed. I'm done. Finished. God said, I believe I'll take that trash heap. I think I'll take that mess and make a message.
Bless the
Lord. You know why? Because, see, I don't get the glory for it. I'm just a messed up individual that God puts his glory and grace on. And somehow uses treasures in earthen vessels.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You say, well, that's amazing to me. I guarantee you it don't amaze you as much as it does me, because I know me better than you do.
Amen.
And if he can do that for me and Peter, you ain't KO'd yet. You might have had the 8 count, and you might be staggering and thought you out. But get up off the mat, honey. The fight ain't over. The battle's still raging. The war's still hot. Get back on the front lines. Let God take a broken vessel like you and get glory through your life.
Amen.
He took that Peter and gave him two books in the Bible. What about John? I'm telling you, them boys was a mess. But look at the messages God give them. And what they thought they was willing to do and couldn't, they ended up with the power and presence and help of God. They did. They all died for Him. And what the devil's convinced you, you can't, never will do for God. I'm here to tell you, by the grace of God, it ain't too late. Now, if you want to wash your hands and give up and say, God, I'm done. The Bible says, and I'm done this morning, but the Bible says, and this verse, Brother Alex, is a saving message to me. A just man falleth seven times. That's a lot of falling. I can identify with that. Oh, my God. I fall, seem like every time I get up, I fall again. I fail the Lord so much, Brother Jack, I get so sick and tired and mad at myself saying, Lord, why do I keep doing it? Why do I fail you again? How could I fail you again? I just ask forgiveness for that. I'm sorry again, Lord. And the devil say, oh, he ain't going to forgive you. A just man falleth seven times, and that ain't just seven. Remember what Jesus told? How many should we forgive? Seven times? Seven times seven. He's just saying as many as it takes. If you keep getting up, He'll keep forgiving you. If you'll just keep getting up, you will not be a failure. Fall, but get up again. Fall, skin your knee, wipe yourself off, get up and move and march for the glory of God. That is no license to sin. That is no license to sin. That is a reason to live for Jesus. Oh, but you flawed. I know you. I know your past. I even know some of your present. Yeah, the devil probably told you. He loves being the accuser of the brethren. If you quit listening to him, you might find some time to serve the Lord. As long, I promise you, as long as you lend your ear to the devil, he will lie to you and gossip to you and keep you messed up with every church member, every preacher, and you'll get sick and tired of the church altogether. You'll say, that bunch of hypocrites. Well, listen, it's the truth. There is a bunch of hypocrites here. One more ain't going to hurt. Come on. I don't know nobody that ain't a hypocrite at one point or another. See, I ain't going to church down there, a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you go to Walmart with them, it don't bother you going there. Go to a steakhouse with hypocrites, it ain't stopping you from slicing into that T-bone. Well, come on down to the house of God. Hey, listen, we just sinners trying to find bread. Trying to get a little better today than we was yesterday. Trying to get to a place where the Holy Ghost of God can take a broken vessel and do things, greater things, Jesus said, than I did. Yes. And by His power and His presence, the presence of the Holy Ghost, the person of Christ, He'll amaze you. As He's doing me this morning. I'm telling you what's the truth. I am done. But I come to church this morning. My wife will tell you, I ain't going to get in. We ain't fussing, fighting. We've been good. I know y'all saw us in the altar. That was rejoicing, not fighting. We do fight. Did some this week. She won. That's why she's having to repent in the altar. No, I'm just... It's a little after 12. I had to wake the Methodist crowd up in here. No, I'm kidding. The Baptist crowd. Y'all got spoiled with the outdoors. Y'all outside, I know it's getting uncomfortable. I hope it won't be long. Y'all get in here. Listen. In closing, don't let the devil write the last chapter of your life.
Amen. That's good.
Peter, Brother Ned, I mean, he cussed him. three times and denied even knowing him publicly. That's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty bad. Any way you slice it, a cussing, lying, God-denying preacher, I'd say his testimony's toast. In today's society, his ministry would be o'er. Am I telling right, David? He'd be done. Did you hear? Let's put that out on Facebook. Old Peter. Well, read the rest. Peter didn't let the devil define him. And you don't have to let the devil define you. There's some things worth dying for.
Hey.
And your faith is one of them.
Yeah.
Your family is one of them. Our freedom is one of them. Paul, let me give you this verse in closing. Paul said this. No, Jesus said this in 1 John 3:16, last verse. That first verse said that I read, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Last verse. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. There ain't a period there. There's a colon. We perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God ain't saying, I don't think right there, God ain't saying we got to physically die. If it requires it, then yeah, for the. But I think what that's saying, do you know we love our life so much, we ain't willing to let none of our life die for the brethren. Imagine what our church could be if we'd just let some of our livelihood, some of our likes, some of the things that we just have to have in life die for the brethren, so we could strengthen the brethren, so we could have a stronger church, if we'd just let some parts of our life die. And because we perceive the love of Christ and he was willing to leave. You say, but I just can't give that up. I love that too much. I've worked too hard for that. Did you realize where he left? I mean, the portals of glory. Do you realize all he gave up for sinners like me? And you say, that church just ain't worth it. Look how much I've worked. Look what I've done. Look how much time I put into it. He had all of eternity with all that, and he left it.
Amen.
To come to this world to die for us.
Yes.
That's why we perceive the love of God. Imagine what people would perceive if we'd be willing to just lay down some of our life.
Yeah.
You ain't got to die, but die to some things. For the brethren. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm done. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this Memorial Day. Thank you for every soul. God, every drop of blood has been shed for our freedom, for our liberty. God, that we can meet together and worship you, God, freely. Lord, in so many countries, in so many other time periods, God, men have been martyred, burned, drowned. Women have been butchered, raped and pillaged. Children. God, you know the horror stories. People have had to go through and be persecuted just so they could worship you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us to take our freedom and our liberty, God, and look at how good and gracious you've been to us, and be thankful on this Memorial Day weekend, on this Lord's Day, for every person, God, that has come before us and provided and cleared the path and passed on to another generation. God, help us not to drop the ball. Oh, God, help us to pass on freedom, liberty. God, would you please help us? Oh, Jesus, help us to be willing to die for the right causes. God, help us to be willing to die to some things in our life, Lord. God, help us. Help that one, Lord, that's closest to quitting, to realize, Lord, their story ain't over. God, I pray you'd help them to see there's more chapters left in their life, and it gets brighter from here. Take the broken pieces, Lord. Restore, renew. God, help us all to be willing to do our reasonable service and be a living sacrifice unto you. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. 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 As these are praying, you be careful, be considerate.
Of suffering brought me give me all I need. Even when I wake up to the storm, my soul cries peace. Sometimes it's hard to count them. There are too many, I confess. So with arms upraised, I'll just say, still blessed. To be with him. So in the morning, should you find me with my eyes closed in death, oh, what victory, what glory, still blessed.
There's never a day he doesn't give me all I need. Storm, my soul cries peace.
Sometimes it's hard to count them. There are too many, I confess.
So with arms upraised, I'll just say, still blessed.
Sometimes it's hard to count them. There are too many.